I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And as always, I would be remiss if I didn't thank our elders for the opportunity that the young men of this congregation have to bring lessons, for them to see the importance of handing off that work for the continuation of teaching God's word and learning how to teach God's word and instructing and teaching in truth and seeing that being an important thing. I always say that many of us young men might become elders ourselves. And so, well, that's one thing that needs to happen is learning how to be able to teach. Many religious groups acknowledge Jesus was a person who lived, breathed, practiced righteousness, but do not believe that he is God. The Jews reject Jesus as the Messiah, Son of God and divine. Muslims acknowledge Jesus as a prophet, but not God. The Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus was created, and they identify him as Michael the Archangel. And while they all have their reasons on why they believe what they believe, one common argument amongst many is, did Jesus ever call himself God? From the surface, this appears to make a strong case. Jesus never specifically says, I am G-O-D. However, Jesus does certainly make the claim that he is G-O-D. Tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. I want you to use your imaginative creation in your brains. Here in John chapter 5, there seems to be this setting almost of like a courtroom. The place is in Jerusalem, the year 30 to 33, somewhere around there. I want you to put in your minds that you are a jury. Jesus is on defense. The Jews are the prosecution. And Jesus is going to make a case for himself. Perhaps one of the strongest cases we see in Scripture that he is G-O-D, God. In John chapter 5, starting in verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus said to him, speaking of the man he just healed at the pool of Bethesda, rise up and take your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Here we see the man healed. But what were the Jewish leaders concerned with? Don't carry your bed, it's the Sabbath. Who gave you this authority? And yet they refused to acknowledge the miracle that this man was healed. They had no mercy within their hearts. And forgetting the greater things of the law, love your neighbor, they were more concerned with their man-made laws they created in their heads. Look at verse 17 now. Look at verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Uh-oh. Jesus says that the Father in heaven, has been working until now, and I myself have been working, making himself Lord over the Sabbath. Look at verse 18. It says, and therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. The term son of, we know the term son of God is used in the scripture all the time. We know that term to be one that talks about a father and child relationship. But why would the Jews see this as such an offensive term? And the reason why is because not only did it represent a father-son relationship, but it also represented one who had the same nature of. So we know in the book of Daniel talks about the Son of Man, speaking of the prophecy of coming of Christ. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, one who's having nature. But he's going back to the prophecy when he speaks of that, talking about himself. We see in the scripture where it talks about the son of perdition, sons of disobedience, those who have the character, those who have the nature of. And so with Jesus saying this, for them it's not the literal child. This is offensive because Jesus was making a case. He was literally calling himself G-O-D. But Jesus doesn't back down on this claim. Most of us, if we saw this, we would go within ourselves and we would say, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm not calling myself God. Jesus doesn't do that. In fact, Jesus doubles down. Look at verse 19. Then the Jews answered and said to him, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so, the Son gives life to whom he will. This would have been the perfect opportunity for Jesus to clear things up, for him to clear his name, for him to say that he's not making this claim. But he doesn't. He speaks of the Father and the Son being aligned, being in unity, being of one mind. What the Father does, the Son does also. If the Father raises life, the Son does also. Jesus is calling himself G-O-D, brother. As he continues this conversation with the Jews, it really is like a courtroom situation. Growing up, I watched some of these court show TVs shows that are, are fake. But one real thing about court is, whether you're in defense or prosecution, Witnesses are always be brought forth. In John chapter 5, Jesus brings forth five. Some of your title headings might say four, but truly it is indeed five witnesses that Jesus brings forth to the case. And we're going to start in John chapter 5, verse 31. Jesus calls his first witness. In John chapter 5, verse 31, he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. Jesus didn't need the testimony of man, but he did so because they knew who John was. They knew where John was coming from, and he did it so that they might hear him and save themselves. Look at John chapter 1. Go over to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 24, the Bible says, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they had asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Verse 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who's coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. Look at verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Look at verse 31. John says, "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon me. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit."'" Look what John says. He says, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Jesus doesn't end there. Go back to John chapter 5. You might want to put a marker there. We're going to come here a lot. In John chapter 5, Jesus calls his second witness. In verse 36, John chapter 5, verse 36, Jesus says, "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." So it's not only John the Baptist, his witness. Jesus says, "The very works that I do testify of me." Look at John chapter 2. In John chapter 2. John chapter 2 now, starting in verse 1. It says, "On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.'" Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. It says, "Now there were a set of 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, 'Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast.' And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, 'Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now.'" The point of the message is in verse 11. Look at verse 11. "This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory." Why? "So that his disciples believed in him." When you think about Jesus turning the water into wine, none of the other Gospels accounts talk about this event, this historical event. But John captures this very intimate setting, that it would have been them with Jesus in the back room with these water pots, and seeing him turning this water into wine. Think of the amazement that they would have had in their minds. But not only them. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, it says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did." Brethren, here's the purpose. In chapter 4, in John chapter 4, starting in verse 46, in John chapter 4, starting in verse 46, it says, "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.'" Verse 49, "The nobleman said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' And Jesus said, 'Go your way, your son lives.' So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Your son lives.' And then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his household believed. Brethren, I can spend the rest of this lesson talking about Jesus making the blind see, the lame walk, demons removed, and raising people from the dead. But how we know that the Jewish leaders understood this is the reaction that we get from Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Why, Nicodemus? For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So these Jews who had come to oppose Jesus, even one of their own was honest and came to him and said, we know because of the signs that you do before us. Back in John chapter 5, Jesus calls his third witness. In John chapter 5, starting in verse 37, he says, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard this voice at any time nor see him, his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. John the Baptist, we saw him, John the Baptist talked about Jesus being baptized. We also see that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, of Jesus being baptized and the Father calling down from heaven, claiming his son. But also in another place, turn to Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, we see the same thing starting in verse 1. In Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 1, it says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Well, turn over to Hebrews. The Hebrew writer writes about the same thing in Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Hebrew writer says, God, who had at various times and in various ways spoken times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the worlds, whom being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. The Hebrew writer is saying, this is God, creator of all things, heir of all things. He upholds the literal world. And he says, and when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance and obtained a more excellent name than they. Back in John chapter 5 now, Jesus calls his fourth witness to the stand. In John chapter 5, starting in verse 39, John chapter 5, starting in verse 39, Jesus says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. We see John the Baptist. We see the works that Jesus does. We see the Father himself claiming him. And now Jesus says to these Jews, the scriptures themselves, the scriptures you have, the scriptures you read, the scriptures you try to abide by, witness of who I am. In Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 44, Jesus says to the group there, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend, that they might comprehend the scriptures. Brethren, there's so many opportunities that Jesus gave these people for them to believe in him. There's so many opportunities that they had to hear him, to listen, to understand. They could literally see it with their eyes that Jesus was G-O-D. And yet they refused. And again, as I stated, your Bible might tell you that there's a fourfold witness, but there's a fifth witness. Going back to John chapter 5 now. John chapter 5, starting in verse 41. Jesus says, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of my God in you. I have come in the Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Jesus says you can't have the love of God in you, because if you did and you saw the works of the Father that you see in me, you would have believed, you would have received me, but you don't. But when others come that honor themselves, you receive them. Why do you not receive me who do the works of the Father? Verse 45, Jesus says, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. But there's three people that the Jews trusted the most. It was Abraham, it was Moses, and it was David. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew proves how Jesus is the direct descendant of David. He's in the line. He's heir to the throne. In the scripture reading, we saw how Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, calling himself God. And now he says, Moses. Moses, who you trust, accuses you. Verse 46, he says, for if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Moses spoke about me. Moses speaks about the prophet that is to come. We're not going to go back there, but we'll go to Acts. We'll go to Acts in Acts chapter 3, Peter's sermon. In Acts chapter 3, when he was speaking of this Jesus, in Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 22, Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 22, Peter says, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, in whom him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. Moses was saying this. They had the scriptures. They knew it. Listen to him, Moses was saying. Verse 23, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Verse 24, Peter said, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you Jews. And why aren't you listening to him? Jesus, in John chapter 5, makes every case why he is the Christ. He makes every case why he is G-O-D. He gives every sign that you could possibly think of that should satisfy the soul, that should change the heart, that should bring those who are listening to repentance. And they wouldn't listen. At the beginning of this lesson, I made the mention of seeing yourselves as the jury, seeing Jesus as the defense. But what I did not make mention of, brethren, is Jesus is also the judge. If you are the jury, it's not to condemn whether he's right or wrong. It's for you to look within yourselves to determine whether you're going to follow him or not. He's right. Jesus, in his defense, proved his case, but he's also the judge. Look at John chapter 5, verse 22 now. In John chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus says, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all shall honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And in verse 26, Jesus says, whereas the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't know, brethren, if there is a stronger case in the scriptures that Jesus makes for himself for being God. So while your religious friends might say, well, he never actually says, I am God. Yes, he does. Yes, he does call himself God. If you're here tonight, and these words have struck a chord with you, if you've been questioning whether Jesus is God, I hope and I pray that this lesson could bring some clarity to you. Bring some clarity that John witnessed and testified of him, that the Father in heaven testified him, that Jesus works, that he worked, testified of him, that the scriptures testify of him, that Moses testified of him. And this is not even all. I can go on and on and on and on of all that testify of Jesus. Brethren, remain faithful. And for those who have been searching, come to Christ. We know that in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, in hearing the word of God. But we want you to believe that this Jesus is the Son of God. We want you to repent of your sins and head in a direction towards him. Believe in him. Abide in him. Confess that he is the Son of God. And upon that confession, we will baptize you for the remission of sins, as we are all in this journey to remain faithful till death. If you had a me, please let us know as we stand together and as we sing.